Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every day on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is All the Young Dudes by the British glam rock band Mott the Hoople. Sending that out to all the young dudes beginning Summer League in full tonight.
What is the most amount of money you would pay to go see Cooper Flagg versus Bronny James in Summer League?
$10 maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe. Like, there are tickets that are going for $650, Chris.
I don't understand that world. I'm a bit of a cheapskate, maybe, when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I really, I have a hard time paying more than, $30 to go to a concert. Like, that seems a much to me. I mean, I grew up going to, the $5, $10 punk shows.
Yeah.
So I don't really, I go to most of my basketball games for free. Maybe I'm too much of a cheapskate. But, yeah, no. Bronny James is no attraction at all to me. No offense to him.
I think it's insulting to Cooper Flagg that it's getting billed as this.
Right. I mean, Bronny James is not – I mean, I haven't looked at the Lakers Summer League roster, but I'm certain he's not the best player on the Summer League roster.
I'm certain of that, too, and I haven't looked at it either.
Like, I don't know. I mean, is Dalton Connect playing? Maybe he is better than Dalton Connect, I don't know.
Dalton got real minutes, right?
Yeah, no, Dalton put up numbers last year.
I want the Lakers Summer League roster.
I mean, I don't think they have a first-round pick this year, so it's probably not the most
Didn't they take somebody in the second league? Or in the second round, sorry, I beg your pardon. All right, you ready? Here we go, I got it. Darius Bazley. RJ Davis, Eric Dixon, DeJuan Gordon, Bronny James, Trey Jemison. He played here for a cup
Former
of coffee,
Grizzly.
Right? Yeah. Ty Johnson, Arthur Kaluma, Dalton Connect, Augustus Marcellionis, Sam Menega, Julian Reese, Sir Jabari Rice, DJ Stewart, Cole Swider, Ethan. He's not even.
Yeah. So the person who should be taking offense about this is Dalton Connect. Like, he was the first-round pick who, averaged double digits in the NBA last year.
He played in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very good, but, he's better than Bronny James.
He at least has a skill that you can see, maybe never an NBA starter, but, you could see him hanging around because he's able to shoot for, 7-8 seasons.
Sure.
With Bronny, I don't know. All right, speaking of recalibrating the West, I wanted to start with this question for you. Has it gotten more difficult to predict the West in the last 4 or 5 years if you set aside the Thunder the last two seasons?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look and, like, you know, where what I thought at the beginning of the season and where it ended up. I remember you didn't remember the things you got right, maybe more than the things you got wrong. I'm sure I got plenty wrong, but I remember picking the Nuggets to come out of the West the year they won the title, which was not the consensus pick. I think the Thunder were a pretty easy pick for everybody last year. So I don't really know the answer to that question.
Because to me, what it seems like is, okay, I think the top of the West is easy to predict, but when you start to get into your third tiers, I feel like it gets pretty mushy in the West. Do you feel the same?
Well, I think there's a lot of volatility. I think the Thunder are an easy pick to pick first this year going into this season. I think the Jazz are maybe even easier pick team to pick last. And I think there's not total volatility, like 2-14. Like, the Rockets aren't going to finish 14th, and, like, the Kings aren't going to finish 2nd.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of maneuverability among the different, you know, tiers as I tried to lay it out there, where I think, you know, any team could jump down or up a tier, you know, depending on how things shake out. And when you really get into that, I think maybe 4-10 range, I do think almost any order is feasible based on just who catches the right breaks, you know, who gets injured, who declines, that kind of stuff.
Obviously, 14 of the 15 teams, they can't all make the play-in or the playoffs. Does this feel like more teams that are at least internally trying to win than we've seen in the past few years?
Well, the only team that is clearly signaled that they understand that they are going to be bad is Utah. Like, that's pretty much it. New Orleans, who traded their unprotected 2026 pick, obviously is not acting like they think they're going to be bad. The Suns owner just, you know, constant fountain of belief in terms of what that team can do.
I did like his. I trusted too many people. It's time for me to get my hands dirty. I like that.
Yeah. Sacramento goes out in free agency and signs a 33, something like that, year old Dennis Schroeder to come in and, like, play point guard.
Problem solved.
So the only team acting like it's not in the mix is Utah. And so some of those teams are going to be very disappointed. I don't have a lot of belief in the rosters of those three teams, Phoenix, Sacramento, and New Orleans in particular. But, like, if you really squint at it, as they're doing, like, if you tell me, you know, Zion Williamson plays 75 games at all NBA level, then, yeah, sure, they're probably a play-in team. But, like, that's not going to happen.
What do you make of Portland?
I think Portland is probably jumping the gun a little bit. Now, they didn't give up much in Anthony Simon, so I don't think it's that good. And I think Drew Holiday will help them. But taking on 3 years of him is sort of a lot. And I don't think that team is putting a lot on the shoulders of Scoot Henderson to be a lead offensive creator, lead ball handler. And I'm not sure he's ready for that at a winning level. I don't know if he ever will be, but I'm not sure he's ready for that right now. I do think that team I think that roster can be very, very good defensively. Like, it would not surprise me if Portland was a top 10 defense in the NBA next season, but I think they'll probably be a bottom 10 offense. And so, you know, can you put those two things together? Can you squeak into the play-in and be the 10? Maybe. I think they're a legit candidate to get into the play-in.
I just found myself wondering, did they put too much stock into, like, that last couple of months, where when you watch them play, they were a good team, but, like, to me, that's like Bulls season. That's when the Bulls start ramping up to make their way into the play-in. I just never know how much stock to put into that portion of the calendar.
It's odd when your two big moves are, on one hand, you trade for, like, again, I'm making up ages, but this is roughly right, you trade for a 34-year-old Drew Holiday. But then you maneuver in the draft to take John Hanson, who, like, everyone thinks is a long-term project.
Right.
And so, like, it's sort of mixed signals about where you think your trajectory is. But, again, I think there's a lot of talent that's bubbling on that roster, particularly on the defensive end. I think Tamani Kamara is awesome. If I could pick any non-star player in the league and put them on the Memphis Grizzlies, he'd be one of the names I would consider. I think Donovan Klingon, at least defensively, is going to be really, really good already. Denny Avdia is a good sort of, you know, multi-talented combo forward type. I think there's talent on that team, but I just don't think there's enough ball handling, shot creation to have an offense that's going to be good enough, you know, to have a winning record, basically.
Drew Holiday turned 35 last month, so
yeah, even older than I thought. Yes. Yeah,
so I'm with you on that. Okay, let's get into your tiers. Is there any way Oklahoma City doesn't win the West this year?
Well, I'm talking about this in terms of regular season right now.
Sure.
I have a hard time seeing them not being the one seed in the West. Now, I think they can lose in the playoffs.
Sure.
They went seven games with Denver. Now I think Denver might be better. So yeah, I think like Denver can beat them in the playoffs. But in terms of the regular season, I just think they're so good and so deep, and they can lose. I don't. It'd be interesting to see what they look like if they lost SGA for a month.
Yeah.
But short of that, like, you could take anybody off, any individual player off that roster, and I just think it won't matter. Like, they did that with Holmgren last year. I mean, Alex Caruso only sort of barely played in the regular season. I just think they're so good and so deep. They're just they're probably going to roll in the regular season.
I think that's fair. I mean, I don't know how much of summer league you caught. I know there were some hot takes flying around on Topich, but
that's not the guy for right now. It's A.J. Mitchell. That's the guy.
Well, my thing with Topich was when I'm watching him play against the Grizzlies, the Thunder aren't going to ask him to be like the lead ball handler. They're going to ask him to be like a bit ninth or tenth guy next year. It's like, well, he can do that. I found myself getting annoyed. It's like, that's probably another hit they had.
No, he might be, but you know, he was a lottery pick, and A.J. Mitchell was a second-round pick. Yeah. They were both rookies last year. And I think A.J. Mitchell's good. And I think in terms of the next man up on the guard depth chart for next season, I don't think it's Topich. I think it's going to be A.J. Mitchell. He's like their next, you know, Kasan Wallace kind of guy.
Okay, so I've been flirting around with this idea. We're talking about the regular season. Is there any chance the Rockets made themselves a better playoff team but a worse regular season team?
The Rockets thing is interesting. Trying to think about them in terms of regular season versus playoffs is a little difficult. On the one hand, like, you know, the idea of you add Durant as a closer, sort of the idea is you raise your playoff ceiling.
Regular their fatal flaw in the playoffs was Chris, I swear to God, like, you'd go 20 minutes of real time without them scoring.
Right. And so there is that. So the idea is that this is raising the playoff ceiling of what is already a good regular season team. But they were a good regular season team because of depth and defense. And so did you sap your depth and defense a little bit in that trade? Maybe. But, like, they went out and added Dorian Finney-Smith and Clint Capella. And, like, they're still pretty deep and look like they're going to be pretty good on defense. I almost wonder if it flips the other way a little bit in that, yes, Durant is your closer. But is Durant going to survive four rounds of playoff basketball at his age?
I mean, that's a fair question, yeah.
Right. And the thing about that team, as talented as it is, and it might be the second most talented team in the West, like 1 through 15, they don't really have guards. I think there's like three guards on the whole roster. It's Fred VanVleet, who is like 5'10 and now in his mid-30s. It's Reed Shepard, who everyone just assumes is going to be good, but he hasn't done it. And then it's like Aaron Holiday or whatever. Like, they're going to start him in Thompson, who I love, but they're going to start him at like two guard. He's not a guard. So that team's sort of an oddly constructed team. It's all front court guys.
I also wonder, do you think maybe the fact that they didn't have a lead ball handler, it makes sense to me that that would contribute to why they struggled so much offensively?
Yeah. So they got Durant to be like the scorer, but Durant's not really like he's not a lead ball handler. He's not a creator. He's not Luka. He's not SGA. He's not, you know, he's the guy who like takes shots, right?
Yeah.
But they still don't have a classic like offensive engine guy who is an offensive engine for a team, not just a scorer for himself, right? And so I do wonder a little bit about both in terms of the lack of shot creation, other than Durant creating a shot for himself, and the lack of guard depth and the Durant durability. I have questions about Houston, as good as they look on paper.
And again, I understand it's not apples to apples, but like, I felt like that was one of Phoenix's problems this year. It's like, I thought Tyus was going to be their point guard. That didn't really work out. And then they wound up with a bunch of like wings trying to play point and then they couldn't stop anybody. But like, it is a problem that we've seen on Durant teams.
Right. Yeah, and so I don't, you know, I think the upside is there, but I think there's lots of there's lots of potential for trouble with Houston, maybe more so than people got excited about the new additions. But that, to me, when you really dig into it, there's a lot of downside with that team too.
Let's go to the Denver Nuggets. Is there any case that they are not significantly better next year?
I think they're better, and I think, you know, I'll take a closer look come October, but
sure.
I will definitely be flirting with a Denver Nuggets NBA Finals pick. You know, I'll definitely be taking a closer look at that. I still don't think they're very good on defense. Like, they weren't good on defense last year, and I don't think the additions that they made really, like, helps the defense that much. But, like, they were really good last year with their mediocre defense. And I like Cam Johnson more than I like Michael Porter Jr., which is the big change. And they added, it looks like, three, like, good vets to the bench. And Jonas Valanciunas, our old friend, Bruce Brown, who, like, they know fits with their system because he's been there before. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. And so that gives them a little cushion. I think they're still hoping for some of these young guys to get better.
Yeah.
Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, some of those guys. But now they have cushion against that. And so I think, you know, would I like them a little bit better if I felt better about the defense? If they, like, Contavious Caldwell Pope, who they had when they won the title, to be, like, the lead defender. I don't think anyone on that roster is as good defensively, like, guarding the best guy on the other team as he was. So that is still the biggest concern for them. But they get the best player in the world, and they get a lot more depth and a lot more versatility. And, yeah, I think they're set up to be real good.
I think the other thing I was thinking about with them is it fair to say in the playoffs they proved that they were really the second-best team in the West? Like, I know they got beat in the semifinals, mm-hmm. but to me, like, they were so much more competitive than the T-Wolves.
That's what it looked like, yeah, 100%.
So what do you make of the Timberwolves?
I sort of like Houston. I think the closer you look, I got some concerns with them. They were really good 1-8 last year, and then the bottom fell out. But it didn't matter because everybody stayed healthy. They probably missed fewer games to injury of any, like, actual contending team last year. Like, everybody stayed healthy. Even Mike Conley's playing 70 games or whatever. So you take that, you subtract one of those eight guys, and Nikhil Alexander Walker with no veteran replacement. Mike Conley is, like, we love him, but I think he's getting close to the end. You get another year older with him, and then you assume, like, you don't assume injury, but you assume, like, the odds are they'll have more injury problems than they did last year because they didn't have very many last year. And I think all three of those things together, like, they really need some of those young guys to step up, and I don't know if they will or not. So I think Minnesota as a team, to me, their upside is just what they were. Like, I don't think they're getting any better. But I think there's a real chance for slippage with Minnesota.
How would you have tried to improve them?
I don't love – they love Naz Reid here. Like, there are Naz Reid signs and yards.
Yeah.
There's Naz Reid seed art at the state fair called
now,
Naz
you can
Reed.
Feel – when you watch T-Wolves games, like, you can feel the cult – like, the cult personality. You know what I mean?
Which is kind of weird because, like, he's not some – like, he's not Tony Allen. It's, like, this larger-than-life character.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what the fascination is. He's a real good player. They paid him like a starter, and he's not. They gave him like a 5-year, 125 or something. If I were them, I would rather have kept Nikhil Alexander Walker, and then at a lower number, and then like tried to replace Naz Reid in free agency with someone making half the price. Like, could they have had Nikhil Alexander Walker and, you know, some other Clint Capella-esque player instead of just Naz Reid and not Nikhil Alexander Walker? I don't really like the way they went about it. I think they've got too much invested money-wise in that front court rotation of Gobert, Julius Randle, and Reid, and I think it leaves them pretty weak on the perimeter. So I would have gone a little bit different route instead of putting all my money into Randle and Reid.
Is it that he just dunks really hard?
To Reid?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's a good three-point shooter. I mean, he's a good offensive player, but he's not a great defensive player, and he's not – like, I don't think he's really – as good as he is, he's more of a six-man type, which is what he's been.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a starter on a high-level team, and that's what they're paying him to be. And I think on top of how much they're paying Randle and Gobert, they just have so much of their cap tied up into the front court. I think it leaves them pretty barren a little bit on the backcourt, especially if Mike Conley tails off.
Speaking of fading stars, let's get into that category. We've got Lakers, Warriors, and Clippers. There's obviously massive question marks because of the age of their best players. But if you had to hitch your wagon to one of the teams, who do you believe in the most?
I believe in the Clippers the most. And if I were to like predict standings today, I would probably have the Clippers at fourth ahead of Minnesota and ahead of those other two teams. I think they have one of the best coaches in the league in Tyronn Lue, who will make it work even when like he doesn't have Kawhi Leonard for 3 months. We've seen this. I think their defensive infrastructure is really strong with the talent they have. I think they're going to have a high-level defense no matter what. And I think they have enough options, and I think they're about to get another one. They're probably going to get Bradley Beal after a buyout. And so between Harden, Leonard, and whether it's Beal or Chris Paul, whoever shows up, they'll have enough shot creation, enough healthy games from those guys to go with their defense and with their coaching and their depth. I think they're going to be good.
What is Bradley Beal right now? Because obviously on that contract, like there's just no way he's worth that. But in terms of a player, if you could get him after a buyout, what is he right now?
It's a good question. There's a question, can he stay healthy? That's one issue.
Sure.
If he can stay healthy and you get him into a better situation, which I think the Clippers would be not the best. I think Milwaukee would be the best situation for him of the options. But, you know, Clippers would be a decent one. You know, I think he could be a different kind of player a little bit, but he could probably be the same level of player as the guy they just traded away, which is Norm Powell, right? Like, you know, not an all-NBA level guy, which is what Bradley Beal was early in his career, but like a guy who could be a 19, 20-point-a-game guy, and, you know, I think he could still be that.
Yeah, I can buy into that. Like, when you say the Norm Powell comp, it's like, okay, I can see that. That makes some sense to me.
Like, not really, not an all-star, but like a guy who gets buckets, like a decent high-level starter, you know, good second, third scorer on a team kind of guy.
Yeah, and you're not depending on him to, like, be the catalyst of either end of the floor.
Like, right.
I think that's fair. Okay, then we've got our next teams up. This is where we find the Grizzlies, and this is where we find the Spurs. Am I just trusting the Spurs too much? Because I feel like when I look at the rosters, it feels to me right now they've got more than the Grizzlies, but I can also understand why you put them on the same tier. How did you balance and come up that these two teams are in a similar spot?
Well, I think the Grizzlies are not quite as dependent on quite as younger, inexperienced of a player as the Spurs are going to be, you know, with Castle and Harper, one a rookie and one a second-year player in sort of prominent roles. Wemby, who is awesome, is, you know, coming off, you know, having missed a lot of time and is still sort of on the young side. And so I'm not making the case the Grizzlies are going to be better than the Spurs. I'm not sure that they will be. But I think Ja and Jaren, who have both made multiple All-Star games, and some good bets like Ty Jerome, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Brandon Clark, and some of that, I think over the course of a regular season, like certainly could be better than the Spurs. But I think they're in similar ballpark.
Jeff was asking me this. In your mind, what would constitute the pass-fail line for the Grizzlies next year?
I'm not sure. I may change my mind on that by the time we get to the start of the season. But I think they're going to be widely projected to be a play-in team, which will be fair. I think certainly below that would be a fail. Is that alone a pass? I don't know if it is. I'm a little worried about the ED injury. I'm sort of back to where I was a year ago, but the team has sort of reset itself a little bit. And so I'm sort of back to being, I want to give a sense that they're on the right trajectory, or they're on the trajectory they want to be, which is you get to the end of the season and you feel like you're close enough that adding this lottery pick or adding some other major transaction that you use with it gets you all the way there. So I don't know if there's a set, like, you know, if you're seven, that's it. But if you're eight, it's not. I just don't know if it's that crystal clear.
Yeah, because we were discussing it. We were thinking it does feel like it's going to be more eye test. Like, did you hit on Coward? Or is there enough to believe that you've hit on Coward? Does Edie come back and look like a different type of player? Does he stay healthy? You know, do Ja and Jaren play 65 games or more?
So, I guess I would say this. If they miss the play-in and finish below 10, that's a fail. If they're above the play-in line, if they're in the top six and just, you know, not in the play-in at all, that's probably a pass. I think if you're in that play-in range, that 7 through 10, it's going to be more contextual and more eye in the beholder in terms of how you really feel about the direction you're headed in.
And that was why I said, like, I set the lines, like, if they avoid the play-in, I view that as a success, and I'm not even counting what happens in the playoffs. I would view that as a success simply because I think if they did that, that would mean, hey, Cedric Coward probably was a hit. You probably got a good amount of games from Ja and Jaren. Edie came back and played well. Like, the things that you would have to do to get to that level, I think you would check those boxes. But then you're right. Then it's kind of like, well, it usually doesn't wind up being best case, worst case more times than not. It's usually kind of somewhere in the middle, and then it's how do you evaluate where they would be from the middle?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be more contextual. I don't think the record itself is going to fully determine how you feel about the team coming out of the season.
Anything else that interests you from the landscape?
This Golden State team, when you look at their record after they made the Jimmy Butler trade.
Yep.
And not just their record, but you look at, like, you know, the numbers, the deeper numbers, that they look like a title level team. It was a short sample, and then they got to the playoffs, and Curry gets hurt, and you see, like, it just falls apart immediately without Curry, even with Jimmy Butler. And that's still a really starry trio. That sounds like a team that can win a title: Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. But man, they're all old. And the injury risk and the decline risk, and like, it just feels real rickety to me. So I think that could go all kinds of ways. Like, that team could win 55 games and be in the title mix. That team could fall apart and miss the play-in. To me, it's real dicey.
Had Butler gotten hurt and not Steph, how much different do you think that playoff series looks against the Wolves?
I think the Wolves were shaky enough that maybe you pull it out. I think you're better that way.
Yeah.
But I think I like the Wolves in that series either way. I think you needed full strength Warriors. You needed all three guys to beat the Wolves in that series. And that's why I'm skeptical of them. Like, especially in the regular season of 82 games, I just don't know how much you can expect that trio to be intact and to be playing their best basketball.
No, I mean, that was the thing that was always interesting to me about the Wolves is they got to the Western Conference Finals, and obviously your path matters, but I never once, like, in either the Lakers series or that Warriors series, like, I didn't leave thinking, man, they look good.
Well, I mean, you throw the Lakers in there, who, I mean, they're different because they have a guy in his prime who's one of the best players in the world, and Luka. And if Luka's in shape and plays 70 games at MVP level, maybe he just carries them. But I don't think that team's very good around Luka either. And that's why I really think, while everyone's going to expect the Lakers and the Warriors to be better than the Spurs and the Grizzlies, I think there's going to be some disruption in that, whether that's in the Grizzlies' favor or not. Maybe it could be the Spurs. But I think one of those two teams, at least, is going to be worse than one of those other two teams.
I think that's
cool. I really think those teams are shaky.
I'm with you, and you could talk me into two teams of those. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. Again, go over to the Daily Memphian and read his recalibration of the West, taking a look at the way that the Grizzlies stack up in the West. All right, it is that time. It's Thursday. That means we're going to play Righter Than Right Trivia. We've got a pair of tickets to go see the FedEx St. Jude Championship. That will, of course, be the first event of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the PGA Tour comes to town. The top 70 on the tour will make the FedEx St. Jude Championship this year. We're going to take caller number two. Kevin Cerrito joins us next. 901-445-0929. 901-445-0929. Taking caller number two next on Righter Than Right Trivia. Stick around. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday, we play a little thing called Writer Than Right. Let's fire it up. Kevin Cerrito joins us now. CerritoEntertainment.com is the website. Kevin, what's going on in the world of fun and games tonight?
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. Well, as we talked about yesterday during Jeffrey Wright and Company, Flyway Brewing has flipped trivia to Thursday. So we'll be debuting on Thursday nights there tonight. Flyway, which is the old High Cotton. Many people might know exactly where that is in the Edge District, but we got trivia there now on Thursdays. It's general knowledge trivia tonight, and I've got a full list of new happy hour specials. Their daily happy hour, which is usually 3 to 6, is expanded through the end of trivia every Thursday now. So you can get $10 barbecue nachos, 6 wings for $6, half off pretzels, $2 off dips, $1 off pints, $5 margaritas, $5 wine, and more, all part of the extended happy hour special Thursday nights at Flyway. Come play, enjoy some great food and drink, and at one of the coolest new spots in Memphis, because really it hasn't even been open a year, the newly remodeled Flyway Brewing Company.
Aaliyah and I went there about maybe a month ago, and we went on a Friday night. They had great food truck options as well, so highly recommend you get on out and go play some trivia tonight with the fine folks at Cerrito Entertainment. All right, you ready for our contestant?
I'm ready.
Let's welcome Don to the program. Don, what's I'm handing
guys?
It over to
you
Kevin.
You had me a $5 margarita.
I know. We said this yesterday on the show. If of all those specials, if there's not something for you, we can't help you.
You got it.
Yeah, it's really, I've been doing this for a long time. It's an amazing list of specials to pair with trivia. Don, welcome to the show. We are giving away FedEx St. Jude Classic tickets. That's not the name of the
championship.
What is it?
FedEx St. Jude Championship. It's like on our fifth name in the last decade.
Golf tournament tickets. It's golf tournament ticket month, right? We're kicking it off. We'll be giving away tickets every week this month here on the radio. So if you're not lucky like Don is today, you'll have a chance to win those again next week. But all right, Don, you just got to play fair. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. And you can steal from him one time. He can steal from you one time as well as we go through the game. We're going to start, though, with something a little bit different in honor of the new movie opening this weekend. I'm going to give you the choice of three categories. To start.
Oh, Lord.
Your categories, it's a bird, it's a plane, or Superman. Which one do you want, bird, plane, or Superman?
Let's go with plane.
Plane. What European airline manufacturer is the main competitor to Boeing?
Oh. European. I can only think of airlines, not manufacturers. No clue.
I
understand that. And usually when you think of a manufacturer, you think of Boeing. But Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
Yes, that would be Airbus.
That would be Airbus, which for a European company doesn't sound very classy. Classy for them.
I assume.
But Airbus is correct. Jeffrey with a point. Jeffrey, you get a point. And you get to choose, Jeffrey. Do you want Bird or Superman?
Oh, God. Give me Superman.
What is the name of Superman's dog?
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert, making an appearance in this. I mean, if you've seen the trailer, you know Superman's dog will be in the new movie coming out.
All right. I'm going to say it's Krypto. It's not Krypton. It's Krypto.
Krypto is correct. Another point. Jeffrey off to a 2-0 lead. All right. America or around the world, Don?
Around the world.
I can try it again here. What agricultural product is the biggest export from Ethiopia?
You had this at one point. Something like it.
It was one of the South American countries.
Yeah.
We did have an export question very recently.
Yeah.
Let's go with coffee.
Coffee is correct. You went with the correct answer, and you got a point. Coffee is the biggest export of Ethiopia. Jeffrey, you're going to America. Which of the Ivy League universities is located furthest south?
Furthest south. I'm going to say Penn.
Penn is correct. The University of Pennsylvania is as far south as it goes for the Ivy League. That is correct. Jeffrey gets another point. Jeffrey, you're keeping score as well.
This seems 3-1. He still has a steal.
3-1. Do you want, Jeffrey, your – well, sorry, back to you, Don, now. Do you want your body or YouTube?
My body.
Your body. In the U.S., what organ has the longest waiting list of patients as of 2024? So as of last year's data, what organ has the longest waiting list of patients?
I would have to say it's one of three. Liver.
Liver is incorrect. Jeffrey's already stolen. The correct answer, the longest list goes for the kidney. The kidney has the longest list.
I would have missed it too.
YouTube, Jeffrey. Sean Evans hosts a popular YouTube series where interviewees are tasked with eating ever hotter samples of what?
Hot wings.
Hot wings is correct. Jeffrey, with a now officially a commanding lead. Okay. Movies or TV, Don?
TV.
You can still win this. Quote, yes, I'm shortening my name to Rob Mack is a recent quote from the actor who plays the character Mack on what long-running sitcom? So this is in the news recently. Yes, I'm shortening my name to Rob Mack is a recent quote from the actor who plays the character Mack on what long-running sitcom?
Let's go with Always Sunny in Pennsylvania, whatever. I have no idea.
Oh, that would just Jeffrey. We don't have Calkins here to Always Sunny. Where? Always Sunny. Where? I will ask.
In Philadelphia. I can't.
That's right. That is correct. We're going to count it. Give him a point, Jeffrey. Give him a point.
The dumbest controversy of the year.
Oh, that, yeah. They have to, like, the, comment on
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
All right, so it's just like a wrestler changing their name to their real name, right? Like, they're, you know, changing their name to their wrestler name. Like, it can happen.
Does his kids have to change their name, too?
What's that?
Does his kids have to change their last name?
Oh, well, see, that's the question. That's where it gets, because there's always, I want to have the same last name as my children, is always a quote you hear quite often related to other situations. But we've been to Pennsylvania a lot today, but we're going to the movies now. Jeffrey, in the famous line from the movie Apocalypse Now, Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore famously stated that he loves what in the morning?
He loves the smell of napalm in the morning.
He does love the smell of napalm in the morning. Jeffrey loves winning trivia here every week. The score,
5-2.
Seems somewhat out of reach. Jeffrey's going to send me his wager since Calkins is out this week in this hour of the program. I've got Jeffrey's wager. What do you want to wager, Don? What are we doing?
2.
He's going to go all in. Jeffrey wagering 1, which seems like then I don't think. And you could steal, and maybe we could get 5.
He could still win. He could get 2 and then steal, and 5-4 win.
All right, let's see it. Final category is weather. Final category is weather. Do you want question A or B?
B.
Don. Going with question B. What D word refers to the temperature at which water vapor in the air condenses?
What was the letter again?
D, as in dog, as in Superman's dog. What D word refers to the temperature at which water vapor in the air condenses?
Dew point
is correct. Going from 2-4.
Uh-oh.
Jeffrey, you are at 5. If you miss it.
And he gets it right.
He will win the game. So Jeffrey has to miss. Don has to get it correct. We could have a winner. Let's see here. It's been a while since somebody actually, everybody always wins the prize, but since somebody's won the game here against Jeffrey on a Thursday. Let's see. Your question, Jeffrey, category again is weather. On a weather map, a warm front is usually displayed as a red line with what shapes on the line? On a weather map, a warm front is usually displayed as a red line with what shapes on the line?
All right, so cold front is like triangle. I'll say is semicircle the right one? I'll say semicircle.
You're too good.
Semicircle. What did you say, Don?
He's too good.
A warm front is displayed as a red line with semicircles or half moons extending from the line. Yes. Jeffrey, you win again.
Down to the wire.
I knew it.
Semicircle is the shape. You knew that one?
Yep.
Good thing I hit it.
All right. Well, you're going to the golf tournament, though. So
yeah, I've got his information. So, Don, we appreciate you playing. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great one.
That is Don. All right, Kevin, remind us again where we can find some Cerrito Entertainment tonight.
Oh, yeah, we're all over the place. There's 5 options of where to play trivia, including now back downtown on Thursday nights at Flyway. For me, it's very important. I started my trivia career downtown played for so long on Thursday nights, so it's always great to be back down there where we'll be at Flyway. But we're also out by the golf, where the golf tournament will be, out there by TPC Southwind at the Hueys. We'll be in South Haven, and Dan McGinnis playing trivia tonight. We will also be at Hampline Brewing Company right off of Sam Cooper Boulevard there, and at Evergreen Grill in the heart of Midtown. You can see all the locations at CerritoEntertainment.com. You will hear at least one of these questions, if not more, tonight. I'll go ahead and guarantee you'll hear more than one of these tonight out at all those trivia locations. So you have an advantage for being a loyal listener here to the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 ESPN. And we also have Music Bingo tonight. And I'll be at Laughlin Yard for Country Music Bingo.
All right.
Yeehaw. Happening tonight. That's all free to play, y'all.
Kevin, we appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, Shepard.
That is Kevin Cerrito. Again, the website, CerritoEntertainment.com. You can see all of the events and what's going on in the world of fun and games. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll update you what's going on in the world of sports. Stick around. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to thank Kevin Cerrito for hosting Writer Than Right Trivia. Again, all month long, we'll be playing for your chance to go and see the PGA Tour's best, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. If you don't want to win tickets, you can also buy tickets now on sale. All you got to do is check out FedExStJudeChampionship.com. We've had some news in the world of sports. Despite Wimbledon not being the best showing for the Americans, the United States of America will have at least one player in a Wimbledon final. Amanda Anisimova has arrived. The former teen sensation who spent several years in the tennis wilderness following the sudden death of her father and coach when she was 17 just upset the world number one Aryna Sabalenka 6-4, 4-6, 6-4 under a broiling sun on center court to make her first Grand Slam final at Wimbledon. She becomes the first American finalist at Wimbledon since Serena Williams. According to The Athletic, in a duel of power, periods of inconsistency and tight games at important times, Anisimova kept her nerve when the match was on the line to keep Sabalenka from making the only major final she has never played. For Sabalenka, it was another tough upset loss at the hands of an American seizing an opportunity in the final stages of a Grand Slam. She has played three Grand Slams since becoming the world number one for a second time last fall, having spent 2 months at the top of the sport back in 2023. She lost to Madison Keys in the Australian Open final and the Nikoga Golf in last month's French Open final. She looked across the net Thursday and saw another talented American woman. There are loads of them these days. Sabalenka came up short just once more. For Anisimova, the win was the next high water mark in a remarkable journey over the past year. Last June, as she muddled through her comeback from nearly a year of battling injuries and struggling with mental health, Anisimova fell in the final round of Wimbledon qualifying. During the next year, each time she achieved an encouraging result, playing deep into tournaments in Washington, D.C. and Canada, and even winning in Doha back in February for her first ever WTA 1000 championship just below the level of a Grand Slam. Her body would abandon her. She struggled with injuries to her back and hip that prevented her from practicing, training, and competing as much as she liked. For a few minutes, it appeared that Sabalenka had turned the match. She even drew even as Anisimova finally faltered on a serve at 3-3 in the second set, missing two forehands and double faulting to give Sabalenka her first service break of the afternoon. However, Anna Smova made a gallant effort to get back into the set as Sabalenka tried to serve it out. However, Sabalenka snuffed out those efforts with a couple of massive serves, setting up the final set, which, again, the American won 6-4. So congrats to Amanda. Great story there. Over at the All England Club. Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John's Thursday. So that means Drew Hill's going to join their program today. David Cobb going to be with me in studio today for Jeffrey Wright and Company. Eric Hastein, Jason Smith will join us. It is Tuesday, so God willing that Jeff is able to do so, he will join Gabe at 5 o'clock. I want to thank Kevin Cerrito. I want to thank all you for listening. However, now our work here is done. We'll try to do better next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.